You're listening to the Unsigned Chat podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 62 of the Unsigned Chat podcast with me, your host, Matt. How are you all doing? It's another week, it's another podcast, and we have another great guest lined up for you this week. I'm pleased to be joined by another great singer-songwriter from Liverpool. So please welcome to the show, Laro. Laro, hello, welcome. How are you?
I'm all good, are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. So for people that don't know who you are, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I am Laro. I'm a 22-year-old singer-songwriter from Liverpool, and I'd say I'm in some kind of genre of pop. Not quite figured out what type of pop at the moment, but I'm still quite young, so I've got time to figure that one out.
Absolutely. So how long have you been singing for then?
So my first ever like performance was actually in the school nativity back
okay.
2004. But I probably started doing music when I was about 13. That's when I first started writing my own stuff. And then, yeah, it's just been figuring things out from there, really.
So what got you into music? I mean, obviously you mentioned the school nativity, but what was that moment where you thought music is what I want to do?
So I think when I was 13, I did GCSE music, and I remember the teacher for that subject knew that I was quite shy, but when it came to music, I wasn't shy. And he kind of like said like that he thought I had potential. And that was the first time I ever thought like, right, okay, someone's like properly believing in me. And yeah, so I'd say if it wasn't for him, I don't know what I'd be doing with my life right now. So, yeah.
And do you think, obviously, like you said, you were shy. So do you think music brings you out of the shyness because it's almost like being a different character, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So I've got my whole like stage persona, Laro. And if like that is my alter ego, because my actual name's Lauren. So I feel like I've got two sides to me. Lauren's a bit more like reserved, shy, whereas Laro kind of doesn't really care what people think. So it's nice to have that like form of escapism, I guess, to be Laro when I feel like it. So
so which one are you more than when you're sort of out and about and with other people?
I think it just depends who I'm with, because I've got friends like that are in the industry too, and they know me more as Laro, whereas the people I've grown up with, like family, friends, my mum and dad and stuff, they get more of Lauren. So it just depends when I feel like I'm in a work environment, I guess. But yeah, I've got love for both sides of who I am.
It's interesting that you mentioned, though, obviously, like Laro being the sort of the other persona. That's quite interesting, because obviously there's quite a lot of people that have stage names and whatnot, but I think it's very interesting how you talk about it being like a completely different persona to who Lauren is.
Yeah. I do love having someone else to like perform as, because I feel like with me being so shy, I could never imagine Lauren being like a performer, whereas Laro was like brand new, like I could kind of like create who I wanted from here, which I guess some people could say it is a little bit sad, because it's like, oh, what's wrong with Lauren? But then you see like the likes of like, I don't know, there's just so many people out there that also have like a different person that they like tune in on stage. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a helpful thing, so
it's not a bad thing at all. Do you think that if you could live Lauren again, do you think Lauren would be more like Laro now?
I'd say in some aspect, because Lauren is definitely like I love who Lauren is. She is caring, like she has a huge heart, whereas Lara is a bit more like not heartless, but won't let people walk all over her because growing up so shy and stuff, I feel like I wouldn't say I regret anything, but I feel like I could have been a lot more out there and not like missed out on things because of how shy I was. But yeah, I don't know if I went off on a tangent then, sorry.
No, there you're absolutely fine, don't worry. So do you think that with Lara, then it's kind of like you can just say what you're thinking and that's
yeah,
the sort
I
of
think
Lara side?
Especially when I write lyrics and stuff, because I'd say my lyrics are really honest and straight to the point. Like, if a person heard a song, they'd know if it was about them.
Oh, right, okay.
As much as I like a good metaphor, like, I do like to be straight to the point with, like, my music and stuff. So, yeah.
So what was the first song that you write? And do you write under the name of Lara or do you write under Lauren but you perform as Lara? Which way do you do it?
So I write all like the credits and stuff go to Lara.
Okay.
I just feel like Lauren's became like completely separate from music and stuff. So yeah, Lara is what it's all under really.
That's good. And what was the first song you wrote then? What was that about?
So the first song I wrote was probably like, as a 13-year-old, it probably was like a little heartbreak song. And nothing wrong with that. Like, everyone loves a good song they can relate to. But it probably was quite a like lovey-dovey thing. I can't even remember what it was called now, but I remember writing it with a friend in a practice room all them years ago.
It's interesting you mentioned a heartbreak song because I think quite a lot of songs are heartbreak songs, aren't they?
Yeah. Sometimes it's frowned upon, especially when women write like heartbreak songs and stuff, because it's like, oh, like, especially like you look at Taylor Swift and how much like hate and like stuff she's had simply because she writes about things she's been feeling. And I didn't think there's anything wrong with that, but there is just like a bit of a stigma around it, but I don't see the issue with it personally.
But Lara, let's be honest, I mean, Taylor's made millions from writing sad songs. And heartbreak. I mean, so is Adele's
yes,
another one that's made a lot of money from sad songs and ex-partners and everything else, so there's absolutely nothing wrong with it at all. I think the thing is with music, there's always going to be people that love your music and there's always going to be people that don't like your music.
Definitely, yeah.
Because you'll be exactly the same. There'll be artists whose music you really like. There'll be artists whose music you don't like.
Yeah.
It's just a perfectly natural thing that we all... Because music's a personal taste, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think a lot of people kind of get hung up wanting everybody to like their music, but reality is it doesn't work like that because we all like some music and hate other music.
Yeah.
You just have to find more of the people that do like it.
Yeah, I think it is quite like a hard pill to swallow at the same time, because obviously naturally as humans we want like approval and stuff, but I feel like the more I write and the more I like share with the world, you do start to realise like it's okay if people don't like what you're putting out, because the people that do like you are a lot more important, kind of thing.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And eventually you'll hit an age where you just don't care what anybody thinks.
Yeah, I feel like the people in my family that are a bit older than me are all like, all do say that will happen. So, I'll get there.
It's like in your early 20s, you're still kind of like finding your feet in the world. You're kind of, you know, wanting to be friends with everybody. And then as you get older, you're just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, don't have time for that.
Eventually, you start to think, you know, life's not made in Chelsea when everyone just argues with each other.
Exactly that.
So how many songs have you written to date then? Have you got like a phone full of voice notes of all the songs you've written? Or?
God, I wouldn't even know. I've got so many unfinished ones as well. Like, as you said, with the voice notes, like, I don't God knows how many I've got of them. I've hardly got any storage on my phone as well, probably for that reason. Ones I've got actually released, I've got, I think it's 8 songs released now, which obviously some of the ones that I released a few years ago, I will go back and change them. But I don't think I'd ever delete them off my profile because it does show like growth, I guess. But yeah, I've got so many songs that I'd love to release. It's just figuring out like the best strategy for all of that. But I'm sure they'll see the light of day at some point. So,
and if you look at your songs that you've written when you were first starting out, mm-hmm. to the songs that you're kind of writing now, can you see sort of the change in the, as you kind of like finding your feet more in the, your sort of style?
Definitely. So when I first started, they all were pretty much like sad piano ballads, and I still absolutely love that kind of writing. But now I am more of like an upbeat pop kind of artist. Most of my songs do still start out on just piano and vocal, but then when I take them to the studio and I've made a demo and stuff, they become a lot more like, not, I wouldn't say dancey, but not so much that you'd like cry to them in your bedroom, more like,
oh dear.
I don't know how to explain it, but my producer always says like I always write sad lyrics, but then together we make them not sound sad, which I think is probably a good way to describe her music. Like if you deep the lyrics, you'd be like, oh, it's quite like, it's quite heavy, but like sonically and musically not so much, which that's where we've ended up apparently.
So do you think then eventually you'll do like an updated version of the songs?
Yeah, so I have a song out called Control, and that's like, yes, a really rough demo version that I produced myself, and I'd love so much to take that back into the studio and like work on that a lot more, because I have like so much love for that song, but it's just not how I wanted it to be. But I'm not the best producer, so I kind of had to go with like the skills I had at the time. But definitely I'd love to like remaster a few things as well, and yeah, bring them back for another chance, I guess.
And what are you like in the studio? Are you a bit of a diva? What Laro say goes, or are you more like Lauren?
There's still definitely aspects of Lauren. I think she's a bit of a people pleaser when it comes to stuff like that, but at the same time I am a perfectionist. I wouldn't go as far as diva. I think I'd say like in the studio, me and Joe, my producer, have like a good working relationship. We get the job done quite quick, but sometimes I will like do a take of a vocal and he'll be like, it's fine, and I'll be like, is it though? Like, will I like this in a few years' time? But I'd say we're quite like on the ball working together in the studio, so
the thing is, it's like, it's your end product, isn't it, the song?
Yeah,
so you've got to make sure that it's the best that it can be.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like, as an independent artist, it's obviously me putting all like my time and money into it, so you want it to be the best it can be. And luckily everything that I've released with Joe has been exactly how I've wanted it, so that's always good.
It sounds like Joe's a good producer then.
Yeah, he really is. He's honestly taken the Liverpool scene by storm himself. He works with so many people now. I recommend as many people as I can to him, which he's probably working a bit too hard now, but I don't think he'll complain about it. Like, he loves his job, so.
You know the only problem with that though, don't you, Lara?
That he'll have less time for me.
Exactly. That's the way it's going to go, isn't it?
I know.
It'll be like, thanks, Lara, for sending me all these bookings and everything. Fantastic. No, got no time to fit your stuff in.
I know, I probably should have thought that through a bit more, but no, I think he'll always make time. I think we've got a good enough bond for him to know.
Like, for him to get his priorities right.
Exactly. That's right.
So I think one thing we've got to address, Taylor tickets. Did you get any?
I did. I was so happy. Oh, as soon as she announced that tour, because I've never been able to see her in the past, like I've never been lucky enough to get tickets. So I thought, like, with the like demand of tickets for this tour, I didn't think I'd get them. So when I did, it didn't feel real. I don't think it feels real now, to be honest. Like, until I'm sat in Anfield, it won't sink in. So I'm just living in a little dreamland with that at the moment, but I'm so excited.
It's interesting that she's coming to Liverpool, because normally the big tours team do Manchester, don't they? But
I was thinking that we were really lucky, but I think maybe Eurovision might have had something to do with that, because she also filmed a video in Liverpool not too long ago as well. So I think all of the Swifties in Liverpool were just shocked that she knew it was a place on the map, to be honest. So when she announced Liverpool, it was a bit of disbelief, I think, but can't complain. Absolutely over the moon.
And obviously we know that there's a lot of rivalry between Manchester and Liverpool, but when it comes to Swifties, is there going to be the same rivalry?
I don't know. Personally, I love Manchester. I feel like it's a bit of a home from home. But yeah, I understand rivalry, but personally, I like Manchester, and I feel like I've been to so many gigs there. Like, it does feel like obviously Liverpool's great for music, but I feel like Manchester holds a lot of musical memories for me as well. So I'm going to be Switzerland on that one. I'm not getting involved in that argument.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Lara, because I'm going to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Which do you prefer, Liverpool or Manchester?
I would definitely have to say Liverpool. I would have to say Liverpool.
Not that there was a right or wrong answer, of course. Both places are absolutely fantastic places.
Yeah. I feel like with my family, I can say, and if I said Manchester, there'd be some difficult conversations. So I'll stick with Liverpool.
Yeah, you can't upset the family, otherwise that's Christmas presents downgraded, isn't it?
Yeah, can't be doing that.
But yeah, no, I mean, both of them are absolutely fantastic cities for both their own reasons. I mean, Liverpool, for music, like you say, has got a lot of rich history with the Beatles. And, yeah. You know, it's got a lot of good history in that respect. I mean, Manchester, it brought what? Take that? Not quite the same, but, you know.
My mum would beg to differ. She's a bit of a crazy Gary Barlow fan.
Now, you see, me and your mother, we probably remember Take That the first time round.
But
I mean, both are absolutely fantastic for music, even the nightlife. I mean, I know Liverpool gets a bit of a bad press, but let's be honest, Manchester has its issues as well.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah.
But no, it's absolutely fantastic. So how many nights is Taylor doing in Liverpool? I can't remember, is it two?
She's doing three, so she's doing...
Three, wow.
13th of June till the 15th of June. So,
are you going to one night, three nights?
So, I was always the kind of person that was like, it's just greedy if people go to several dates. But I originally got tickets for the Thursday, and then one of my friends asked me to come on the Saturday. So, I couldn't say no. Like, I felt
so you're now one of those people.
I feel like such a hypocrite, but I feel like if anyone was given the opportunity, like, it'd be stupid to say no. And she does do different songs on each night, so. And as well, I've never been able to see her live, so maybe it's compensation. Who knows?
Lara, you don't have to defend yourself to me.
I know, listen to me. But yeah, I felt guilty for a little while, but anyone would do the same, so.
Of course they would. Anyone said that they wouldn't do the same would be lying.
Literally.
Let's just call it out for what it is. They'd be lying. When it comes to Taylor Swift, those Swifties, they can be ruthless characters.
Yeah, honestly, there's some psycho Swifties out there. I wouldn't say I'd go that far, but yeah.
Did you see her American sort of tour that she's been doing though, where all the people that couldn't get tickets... Not, I'm saying because obviously people had more than one ticket for multiple nights, but for the people that couldn't get tickets, they were like, went to the stadium anyway, and we're all stood outside singing our songs. And
it was crazy, wasn't it? I think like on one of the nights, there was like 20,000 people stood outside of the stadium, which I think would be so bittersweet because you'd be so close to the stadium, but so far from, like, I just don't know how I'd feel about it. Like, my boyfriend did say if we didn't get tickets, we could stand outside Anfield. But I was like, I just don't know. Like, I feel like I'd be so sad that I wasn't in there. But at the same. I don't know how I'd feel about it, but there's probably such a good atmosphere out there regardless. So
You'd feel like you were close yet so far.
yeah, I think I'd just be so envious of like everyone that was in there.
Was reading this week that Taylor Swift had given her Ezra to a truck driver's $100,000 as a
Yeah,
bonus.
I heard that. Yeah.
What a woman.
I know. She's just like, there's no one like Taylor Swift.
If it had been Adele, she'd have been like, thank you.
Yeah. No,
That
like Taylor's just like in her own little realm. Like, no one does it like Taylor Swift.
So, what are your inspirations and aspirations musically? Where do you draw your influences from as a performer?
So, as much as I love Taylor Swift, I don't think she actually has anything to do with like my songwriting. My main ones at the minute are definitely Maisie Peters. I absolutely love her. There's also Gracie Abrams, Dylan. I think the main kind of artists that I listen to and take inspo from at the moment is like people that are like around the same age as me. And that are also like young females, because I just love watching like their progression. But I'd say lyrically, there's a lot of male artists as well. So JP Sachs is a big one for me lyrically, and Noah Kahan is a new recent one. So I'd say there's like a whole like variation, but young female pop artists are probably who I most like look up to at the moment.
It's amazing how, when you look at time long of music, there's been a lot of strong female pop artists over the years.
Yeah.
And it's great to see. I mean, obviously, there's still a long way to go for female artists and equality in the music
Yeah.
industry. But it is, there's fantastic female artists that are coming through now, but also a history of.
Yeah, I feel like now more than ever, like, I think it's especially from TikTok and stuff, like, the amount of young females that I see taken off from TikTok is like crazy. And I mean, TikTok for me scares me how people can go from like 200 followers to 1 million followers in like a week. The power of it's a bit crazy, but we love to see women making a stand in the industry because there needs to be more of it, I'd say.
Absolutely, and certainly, like when you look at headline shows for festivals and things like that, there needs to be more females because it's still very male orientated.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
And I always think when people mention TikTok, I always think of like a watch.
Get where you're coming from. It's the same
Yeah,
sound.
it must be a generational
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean. TikTok's obviously been a great platform for a lot of people. I mean, not only for people in the wanting to be in the music industry, but for other industries as well. TikTok seems to be a platform that really can elevate you faster than other social platforms.
Yeah, it's honestly crazy how like it blew up. I don't actually think like without the pandemic, I don't know if TikTok would have become so huge because the amount of people that spent their time in lockdown making TikToks and stuff like without the lockdown, I don't think there would have been enough time for people to invest so much in TikTok. But in terms of like discovery, I feel like TikTok is the best platform for it. But I read this article about how it's good for like discovery, but in terms of like making a lasting career, it's like a lot more difficult because you see so many artists like, not to say that they're like a one-hit wonder because their back catalogue's probably unreal, but there's so many people that have made one hit on TikTok and then they've just gone off the radar, which is really sad because, like, I feel like it's so hard to like keep up momentum in the industry because it's become so like disposable, just with how like oversaturated it is and stuff. But yeah, I found so many great songs through TikTok, so it's definitely got its pros and cons for sure.
And what's your view of, because obviously someone young like you, what's your view of the music industry? How do you sort of see it and where it is now and where it should be going in the future?
I feel like it's such like a loaded question because there's so many pros and there is so many cons. I feel like in terms of like women having more of like a say in the industry, I feel like that is getting slightly better. Like the amount of gigs I've seen that are all female lineups is like really nice to see. But hopefully that does carry on, and hopefully it does become an industry where it is as close to 50-50 as it can be in terms of like gender equality. But I don't know. It's just, I feel like it just gets harder and harder to grow. Because obviously, like, say, like 20 years back, it was, I wouldn't say it was easier to grow, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it was easier to get noticed by a label back then because you could send in a CD, whereas now it'd just get lost and everything is so TikTok based. So, yeah, I feel like it's just much harder to market yourself as an artist, especially independently now. But I kind of hope physical stuff comes back, like physical marketing more than just like the online stuff, because I went to a convention not so long ago and one of the like talks was on social media in the industry, and someone said like if social media was deleted, what would you have left in terms of like a following and stuff? And that was really eye-opening, to be honest, because it's true. Like, if all social
It
media
is.
got deleted, what then?
It is. So with social media is an interesting one because everybody, social media is all about all around us. We can't get
Yeah.
out of it or away from it. Now with music, it's a very interesting one because an artist needs social media to grow the following and
Yeah.
share the music to reach a wider audience. But all an artist needs is an algorithm to change or the platform to disappear, and then they're back literally to square one again.
Yeah, it is so
So,
scary how like fast it can all change.
absolutely. So, what you kind of have to do is try and build a platform that's outside of the social channels. So, like an email community
Yeah,
that,
mailing lists are quite a good one.
yes. Because you then own that data.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're using social media, if the social media companies own the data for the people, whereas if you have your mailing list, you own that data.
Yeah, when
So
you've got
there's no
someone's data.
algorithm that's going to change if you're emailing, is there?
Yeah, literally.
Is that something you do? Do you have a mailing list or anything? No.
It's actually on my to-do list. I definitely need to get around to that. That was another thing I learned at the convention thing that I went to. So it's still on my to-do list, but I definitely need to do that.
You'll get it done.
Eventually, I'm sure I
The best time to probably start it is like a cold winter's night. When like you're not out gigging and in the studio and things like that. You sat at home in front of the fire with hot chocolate.
Yeah,
It's
definitely.
one of them sort of things. That's the time to start one. But so have you done any gigs then?
Yeah, so at the moment I'm on like a mini break from gigs. Just because I wanted to go back to writing and stuff more than anything. But I've done like quite a few venues around Liverpool. I do love gigging. I've got my backing band and I absolutely love all of them. We've done some really cool gigs together. The last one we did was a local festival, Formby Festival. And even though it was only like a small like family thing, it was just so nice to be outside performing. And it was to quite a lot of people because I feel like it's so hard to get people to like the smaller gigs around Liverpool. I know that's something that all of my artist friends agree with, like trying to make money from gigs, it can be quite difficult. But I just love it. Like, it can be a lot of stress organizing them, but as soon as you're on the stage and you can just relax and start doing what you do best, like it's all worth it. So
And obviously, you mentioned about having a band as well. So, how did you meet your band members?
So I met two of the band members in college and then the third one in uni. So we've all done music for college and uni. So yeah, they kind of like, we met at the right time, I think.
And with them, are you more Lauren or Lara?
I'd say 50-50. I think, so I met the first two when Laro didn't exist. So I only made Laro in, I think it was the end of 2020. So they knew me before Laro, whereas my drummer Jack met Laro. So a bit of a mixture.
And what's your sort of favourite venues then for playing? Where's the best one you've played at where you definitely want to go back and play again?
So I'd say I really enjoyed doing Jimmy's, which is the top of Old Street. That when I walked in there and like saw the dressing room and stuff, it did feel quite bougie. Because a lot of the venues in Liverpool and in quite a lot of the like major cities, they are just like little basements and quite dingy and stuff. But Jimmy's felt like in the dressing room, it was crazy. There was a shower, there was a nice zebra print couch. So it just felt a little bit more like fancy, but that stage and stuff was a nice size too. So I think Jimmy's my favourite so far.
I think the one you described as dingy, I think you meant vibe. It has its own vibe.
Yeah, it does. No, I love what they are, but yeah. I just think, I feel like they're more suited to like the more like rockier, punky kind of vibe, which I'm definitely not in that genre.
Is the one that was dingy then the sort of place where your feet stick to the floor with all the dried alcohol and everything else?
That's it. That couldn't say it better myself. Yeah.
Oh, we've all experienced them sort of venues.
Gotta start somewhere. I do love them. Like, I'll take a gig anywhere, to be completely honest. Like, I love doing it, so that's the main thing.
They're the sort of places where you have to wipe your feet on the way out.
Yeah, definitely.
So have you got any gigs lined up for this summer? I know you said you've taken a bit of a break so you can concentrate on writing, but have you got anything sort of lined up?
So I've got one, not for the rest of August, but in September, I'm going to be supporting a friend of mine. I don't know if I can actually talk about it at the minute.
Because... You don't have to say anything you don't want to.
So it's all under wraps, all suspicious. But she's not from Liverpool, so she's doing a bit of a mini tour around, and she asked me to support on the Liverpool date, which was really kind of her. So yeah, that's all in the works at the moment. So yeah,
so watch this space.
Yeah, stay tuned. Yeah,
are you from a musical family then?
No, definitely not. I don't think anyone...
You said that with such determination. Absolute fact. Nope.
I think I'm the only creative person in general. Like, I can't think of anyone in like my close family that's ever done anything artistic, which I was some kind of anomaly, I guess. My mum and dad both think that my voice comes from them, but I think they're just in denial personally.
Right, okay. Are you thinking it like skipped a generation? It's more like grandparents.
Possibly. I've never heard my nan sing, so she could be where it came from. Who knows?
But are they quite supportive with your musical career then?
Definitely. I think at first, because I remember when I first went to college to study music, I'd done a year in sixth form and I was doing like chemistry, psychology, English lit. So it was a bit of a jump when I told them I wanted to do music. But they were really quick to realise, like, yeah, she's not happy doing the sciences. Like, this is what she's going to get happiness from, which I think is so important, because I think all through school and stuff, you are told, like, you have to go to university, you've got to do, like, the core subjects. But if it doesn't make you happy, then I don't see a point in it, really.
Completely agree with you, Lara.
Yeah.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you.
The thing with the education system is, I mean, it's designed just to keep churning out workers,
yeah,
as opposed to people that want to develop a career in the creative arts or anything, yeah, like that. It's designed for people just to get get an education, go to university, get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's no kind of like leviant off that path. That's what the education system is really designed for. It's broken in that respect. Don't even get me started on that.
Never mind either. That could open a whole can of worms.
That could be a whole different podcast episode.
Yeah, it'd be about 3 hours long.
But no, I mean, you're absolutely right. If it's something that you're not passionate in, then you've got to ditch it and move on to what you want to do. And,
you know,
music's obviously your greatest passion.
Yeah, I'd say apart from music, I said that I didn't like studying psychology, but I think it was more like the academic side of it, because I am like a huge, like, I don't know how to explain it. I'm really passionate about like mental health and stuff. That's something I write about a lot as well. So I'd say my two biggest passions in life are music and mental health. And I feel like they're two things that I can intertwine quite well, if it be lyrics or, I don't know. I imagine, like, I have this vision of the future, like, if I do get lucky enough to do bigger shows, of just like having a little segment in the middle of a show where I just do like a speech about mental health and anything related to that, because I do think awareness of that is so important as well.
You're right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially as it's what, 1 in 4 people now, I think, that will suffer with mental health at some point in their life.
Yeah. I don't think people realise how common it is. Like, there's still such a stigma around it, which I understand, because it is hard to talk about what's going on in your brain, because most of the time you don't understand it yourself. But I'd love a world where there was no stigma around it. I wish you could talk about your mental health as easily as you could about if you had a headache, or like if you break your knee, you're not ashamed to admit that. But if you like had to take a day off work for feeling anxious, like, it is still frowned upon in so many places, which is really upsetting, to be honest.
Such wise person you are, Lara.
Do you think? Thank you. I'll take it.
Wise beyond your years.
Thank you very much.
So what's the sort of your plan for your music then? Are you going to be releasing more singles? Are you going to do an album? Are you going to do an EP? You don't have to talk about anything you don't want to, that you can't talk about yet.
So at the minute, my debut EP came out in April. So I spent so much like time and energy working on that for like 3 years. So I think this summer has been mostly like me just going back to the reasons I started music in the first place. So I always started writing as a hobby before it came to be like be a career. So I think at the moment I am just writing for fun, seeing what happens. But I did love working on the EP, like bringing like the photo shoots and all of that kind of stuff to life. So I would like to release another EP, maybe in the next, like, I wouldn't say for the next 6 months, but maybe next year. Who knows? Who knows what can happen? But I've got so much that I want to release and get out there. So, yeah.
The world's your oyster.
Exactly. I've got all the time in the world.
That's the way to live your life.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that's the way. What's the rush? Got all the time in the world.
Exactly.
I mean, I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because when you look at your sort of age group, people always sort of talk about how by 20, you know, you should have your life figured out, you know, university, job and all this sort of stuff, which that mentality worked absolutely fine in the era where your life expectancy was only 40 years.
Yeah.
But nowadays, even if you're in your 40s, 50s, it doesn't matter if you've not got your life figured out.
No, there's always time to start again, I reckon. Like, if you're not happy doing something, like, why carry on? If you've got the chance to make a new path, I'd be cheerleading along the way to say, you do that. Like, I feel like the life expectancy now is so much longer, but at the same time, life's too short to spend it not being happy, which sounds really, like, motivational. I'm really, like, I don't know, but, yeah. I just think if you don't have happiness, you don't have anything really.
This is like a Laro TEDx, isn't
I don't know. We're always talking about music, and I've gone off about, I don't even know what, but.
the one thing about this podcast, I will always say, we talk about anything that comes up in conversation.
I know. I think I need to get out more, to be honest. Like, God, I've really saved all my thoughts for this, haven't I?
Not a problem.
That's awesome, then.
Speaking of music,
Yeah, I've done
which bands would you bring back to make a super group?
that one. Oh, that's a good question.
Thanks.
I feel like the first one that came to mind, I don't even know why it's come to mind, is ABBA. But
Oh.
I don't think they'd be up to it because they've had their little voyage tour, haven't they? With like the what do you call them? The like they weren't actually on the stage. It was like
Oh, it's like CGI type of
that's yeah, that's the one.
area.
They completely went out of my brain then.
I don't think that was a, I don't think that was a little tour.
Oh God, no. That was a big understatement. That was a massive tour. But I think as well, like when I was really little, one of my favorite bands was Girls Aloud, and I'd do anything for that reunion, to be honest. Like, I just loved them. I wouldn't say they directly influenced my music, but yeah, I was a huge fan of them. So.
Could you imagine if Abra and Girls Aloud created a super group? I mean, obviously it'd be known as Abra Aloud, wouldn't it? But
No, I think that'd be absolutely amazing. I'd pay good money to see it. So,
I mean, I can just imagine Girls Aloud singing Chiquita.
iconic.
Absolute, that would be a really good super group.
I can't think of anyone else. I think that question put me on the spot more than the Liverpool Manchester one for sure. I'll give you a message in a few weeks when I've compiled that information.
So, I mean, yeah, Abra and Girls Aloud, that would be a good super group. I mean, that would be a great tour to go and watch.
Really would. There'd be something for everyone.
I mean, God bless her soul, obviously Sarah Harding wouldn't be in
Yes.
it. But no, that would be a good
Yeah.
super group. But I love the fact with ABBA, their music is like timeless.
It really is. It yeah.
And it seems so difficult now for artists to write that sort of timeless thing. Because even if you look at music that came directly after ABBA's era, a lot of that isn't sort of timeless. But I mean,
Yeah.
ABBA clearly were ahead of their time when they were writing songs. What's your favorite ABBA song?
I do love Waterloo is one of my favorites. I feel like that's a classic. One of my favorites, it actually became one of my favorites after the second Mamma Mia film. It was Knowing Me, Knowing You. I just love that one as well. But it's really hard to pick. They're all just, I don't think they wrote many bad songs, to be honest. Like, I'd love to see their back catalogue as well of like what didn't get released and stuff, because yeah, there must have been a lot of hits in there as well, surely.
I think if they released everything they had ever wrote, they would earn even more money from it. Because I think people would buy it because it's they're so kind of like iconic.
Yeah, like if it's got ABBA's name on it, I think it'd sell well, so.
Even if they only released it as a vinyl.
Yeah. That's the best way to make money because streaming doesn't do much, so I feel like the physical stuff again, like. Yeah, not that they probably need the money because they're probably all sitting quite comfortably. But
Now, fair point. They probably are. But I mean, yeah, I mean, if they'd released the back catalogue that they hadn't released previously, but only as a vinyl, I think even people without record players would probably still buy it.
yeah, just as a collectible.
But yeah, it's did you see their Voyage tour?
I didn't see it in person, but I wrote a uni assignment on ABBA last year.
Did
I
you?
did. We had to pick like an influential band, which is probably why they were still fresh in my brain, to be honest. And I picked them, and we had to write like we had to make a poster about the band. So yeah, I did quite a bit of research into it, but yeah, it was crazy how they pulled off, to be fair.
I'm assuming you obviously did well then with your assignment on ABBA.
Yeah, I did quite well. Got a good grade for it, so
That's the main thing. What more can you expect?
yeah, a win-win.
So, if you were to have a dinner party where you could invite anybody you wanted, up to five people, dead or alive, who would you invite and why?
So, do they have to be music related?
It can be anybody you want.
Okay, Princess Diana is always the person that I think of first. I'd love to have a conversation with her. Obviously Taylor Swift to like I
Provide
can
the
stop saying.
entertainment.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like she just has so much good advice as well. Like she knows the music industry like the back of her hand. So some would argue she is the music industry, so she'd be a good one.
I feel though, like with Princess Diana and Taylor Swift, at the dinner party, I've got a feeling like Meghan Markle would come up in conversation. That awkwardness, you know what I mean? It'd be like,
Yeah, I feel like I don't think it's saying Meghan Markle, but there's definitely questions I'd like to ask Meghan Markle, but I don't think she fits the guest list in this instance.
Fair enough.
Who else? I'm trying to think.
There's those three empty seats. Who else are you inviting?
Who else? This is actually such a hard question. Another random one. She's not famous, but it's really random as well. My year six teacher, because I think she'd like to see how I've progressed as a person from being a little shy 11-year-old. I feel like she'd be quite proud of how far I've come. I feel like I'd have to say Maisie Peters as well. I've met her luckily a few times. So it'd just be like a nice little catch up. And fifth one. There's no men on the table. I need to invite.
It's your dinner party.
I know. We need to get some equality in the mix. You know what I'd say? Another random one, but Sam Fender. I feel like I've seen him live twice. Yeah, and I'd say he's probably one of my celebrity crushes. So that's probably the only reason I want him at the dinner party. But if he wants to come, then it's fine.
Fair enough. I mean, to be fair, I mean, other than your teacher, it sounds like a good mix. And I only say that because I don't know your teacher.
Oh, she
But
is good.
it sounds like a good mix of intellectual people with good conversation and entertainment.
Yeah, I'd happily be at the dinner party, so.
You'd have to be, it would be your dinner party.
Yeah, that's a good point, to be fair. Yeah, it'd be a good night.
Would. I mean, but to be honest with you, it was an interesting one when you mentioned Princess Diana.
I think, like, I'm just like really intrigued by her. Like I've watched so many documentaries, but they just don't like do it the same as a real conversation would. Like she's just so interesting. I just really like her.
Yeah, she was an interesting, but she was probably actually one of the most decent royals
Yeah,
at that time.
that's very true. Very, very true.
But no, it'd be a good dinner party with some great entertainment. Some...
A good mix of people.
What else is your plan then for your music?
So, I think when I finish uni, so I've got one more year left. I go into third year in September. I think after that, it's like I'll have a lot more time to focus on it. So, I'm just really excited to like learn a bit more about the whole like business side of it and how to properly market myself. I feel like I've built like a solo brand kind of thing with Laro. But I think I do just want to, because as I said before, Laro is like quite like a character that doesn't care what people think. But I do want to bring more of like a realistic side of it with the mental health stuff. So I'd love so much to like merge them a bit more. Because I've written songs about it, but in terms of like live shows, I want to just make that experience a lot more enjoyable and like a safe space for people that come to pay to see me as well. I just want shows to be worthwhile. So yeah, I'd say long story short, work on the live side a lot more and just make sure that Laro aligns a lot more with Lauren, I guess, but still having it as an alter ego.
So how do you cope, obviously, wearing all these different hats between being the songwriter, the artist, the booking agent, the PR person, the manager? Because it's a lot of work for one person to do.
It really is. It's so easy to get burnt out doing it as well. I would love at some point, I don't know when the right time is, but I'd love to get like some other people on the team. Because I've got so many friends that like are going through the same thing as an independent artist. So it's nice to have them to lean on. But at the same time, having like a manager or a label would take off quite a bit of the stress related to it. I do enjoy it. Like when it comes down to it, like I don't think I'd put so much time into it if it wasn't something that I genuinely love doing. And I think like the end result, so when you get onto the stage or when you release a single, like the feelings you get from doing that kind of like make it worth it. But it honestly is something that I think you don't realize before you get into being an independent artist, like how much it is. And when people have the audacity to say like it's not a real job, like
it's the cheek of them.
Yeah, it's a kick in the guts for sure. If only they knew.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, it's like when people say, you know, such and such isn't a real job. I mean, The thing, music is a real job, and it's such a hard job.
Yeah.
Because certainly when you're an independent artist and you're sort of starting out before you get to the point where you need a manager, a booking agent, and a label, you've got to do everything. So you've got to be prepared to put in long hours. And
yeah,
it's such a difficult thing for people to do. And then I absolutely agree when people say, oh, it's not a proper job. Well, of course it is, because the effort that goes into it.
Yeah. I think as well, because of like, it's not like a regular 9 to 5. So trying to have like a routine around it as well. Like I sometimes find like I'm a lot more productive in the evening. Like I write most of my music then. But in terms of like routine, it's not very like sustainable to be writing late at night all the time. So it is trying to like, especially being your own like boss as well, like it is self-employed. It can be so hard to like stick to a sustainable routine as well. So yeah.
Are you more of a night owl then?
Definitely. 100%.
Again, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you get people that are morning people and you get people that are night people. It's not how many hours you're asleep, it's what you're doing whilst you're awake.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have like a lazier morning and a productive evening. I just feel like I've got so many more ideas in the nighttime.
Fill up them voice notes with more song ideas.
Yeah. Ruining my phone storage more and more.
You'll have to start getting another phone then to add more storage.
I know, I'll have to get a burner phone just for bloody voice notes. I do need to go through them though, definitely. I need to have a good sort through, but there's just so many. Finding the time.
You might find though, if you actually went through them all, you could write another song. Just with
you never know, there
got.
could be like a Radio 1 number one hit in there. You never know.
There could. Because
maybe that's the motivation I need.
Well, they always say you're only ever one song away from making the big time.
That's true. It's just knowing which song is
the right one. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know whether you've heard of Pete Waterman, who was a very big sort of music producer back in the day.
The name rings a bell.
But he was the one that was saying that if you want to write a smash hit, you have to write a song that you can imagine a postal worker whistling on their morning round.
I've not heard that before.
Have you not?
No.
Because obviously it means it's good. It's a memorable song, isn't it? It's yeah, obviously catchy enough that people are remembering it.
Yeah, that's very true.
But yeah, I mean, it's everyone's trying to find that one song that's going to change their life forever.
Yeah.
What would you do? Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, like, I feel like a lot of the time I write a song and I won't like it as much, but then the people around me will love it. And likewise, I could love a song, but everyone else might hate it. So it's just trying to find, what works and stuff.
What do you think you would do then once you'd sort of made it? What would...
God, I would love to do a tour. I don't imagine myself ever being like a stadium size tour. But I would love to. I always think like I'd see like fans as friends kind of thing. Like, I don't know. I feel like if I did a tour, I'd want like, I kind of hate when people do like paid meet and greets. Mm-hmm. Like, it just doesn't sit right with me to have to like pay to meet another human. I just don't know. Seeing them live is a different story, but I've seen artists that charge like £600 for like a photograph with them, and it just doesn't sit right with me. So I feel like I'd always be humble in that aspect. But yeah, doing a tour would be cool.
That sort of thing's like, it is an Americanism, isn't it? That's where it came from.
Yeah, yeah.
It started off with American artists kind of doing all these meet and greets and charging. Even like personal development and things like that. I mean, the Americans, where they charged like £10,000 to attend a 3-day conference.
Yeah.
And then you leave at the end of it probably with no further knowledge than when you started. Just £10,000 later.
Yeah. God.
So where can people find you online then, Lara? Where do you hang out socially?
So I'm pretty much on every platform. On Instagram, TikTok and Twitter, I'm under Songs by Lara. And then on Spotify, streaming platforms, whichever people listen to music on, it is just Lara. I think sometimes it's, as a small artist, it can be quite hard to find. But Lara in all caps normally helps. Or you can search for the EP, which is called The Receipts. Yeah.
Are you on Threads?
I am. I haven't like got my head around it yet. I downloaded it and was like constantly on it for the first few days and then forgot about it for like 2 weeks. So
pretty much like half the users then.
Yeah, it definitely did dip a little bit, but yeah, I just couldn't get my head around it. It's too similar to Twitter.
It's like Twitter without the hashtags.
Yeah, I didn't really understand it, to be honest. Like, I downloaded it because I was like, oh, like, it's another place to market myself. But then there's already enough places to have to market yourself as a musician.
So there is.
I'll stick to one of them, I think.
Did you download it because you had a FOMO?
Pretty much. I was seeing all my friends do it and I was like, I probably should do that. But yeah, I feel like they've all forgotten about it as well. So I feel less bad for doing that.
I do think that you're right. There's just so many social platforms.
Yeah. And I heard like, so it, when you make a video on TikTok, if you like screen record it to get rid of the watermark to post on Instagram, Instagram still knows that it's from TikTok and then will like push it down in the algorithm. So it's like, they expect you to make like fresh content for every app and it's like, no, I'm tired. I don't want to do that. So
because it's time consuming, isn't it, making content for all these different platforms?
It really is, because people will see like a 15 second video and think nothing of it, but it's like, it took bloody 3 hours to make that, to edit it right and whatnot. So yeah.
Are you quite big then with your sort of TikTok content?
Musically, I do. I feel like I'm quite good at making TikToks. It's just honestly the algorithm. Like, I have two TikTok accounts. One is like for Lauren, and one's for Laro. And the content that I do on the Lauren one performs a lot better than the music one, which can be a bit annoying sometimes, but take every viral video you can get, I guess, because it's just so unpredictable.
It's interesting though, isn't it? If obviously you've got one that performs a lot better than the other.
Sometimes I do wish they were a bit more equal, but at the same time, like, I spent a lot longer growing the Lauren one, so it does make more sense, I guess. So
And what do you think's like Instagram?
I think Instagram is my favorite out of all of them, to be fair. I think that's just the one that I've grown up with as well, so it probably is the most familiar. But it's like, I feel like Instagram is good for building a brand and stuff, but in terms of discovery and engagement and stuff, it is definitely not the best. I think a lot of people would agree with that. I don't know what the creators have done with that, but a lot of people are unhappy with how Instagram works in the recent year or so.
And do you do anything with YouTube or?
I have a YouTube account, but it's again separate to music. I used to post covers and stuff on it, but now it's more for vlogs and stuff. Because again, I feel like Laro is separate to that, but
Yeah.
I wish people paid more attention to YouTube. But again, with TikTok taking over, like, everyone went from YouTube to TikTok, so
Well, that's why YouTube brought out that sort of YouTube Shorts, wasn't
I feel like they're all trying to emulate TikTok, aren't they? Like YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels. There's something similar on Facebook as well now, but I can't even keep up, to be honest.
To be honest with you, until you mentioned Facebook, I'd forgotten all about it.
It's definitely not a popular one anymore. It's definitely more of like a family thing, isn't it? Like, to keep up with.
Facebook is now like MySpace.
Yeah, it's on its way, isn't it?
You probably don't even remember MySpace,
I never had it myself. I think people like my age had it, but I never had it myself, so.
I heard people talk about it.
Yeah. Like, it's still like a common how I feel like everyone knows that it existed, but I wouldn't know much about it.
What do you make of the Twitter becoming X?
I was really shocked when updated because I hadn't heard, like, I think I must live under a rock, to be honest. I hadn't heard that was a change that was going to happen. So when my phone like automatically updated it, I was really confused. But yeah, I haven't noticed many differences so far, but I don't know. I wasn't really that big of a Twitter user, to be fair. Like, I went on it every now and then, but yeah, I don't really know. I don't understand it, to be honest.
Fair enough. Well,
Oh,
Laro, it's been absolutely fantastic speaking with you.
I've had such a good time. It's been really like therapeutic, to be honest.
Therapeutic. Now, to be honest with you, that is never one thing that anyone's ever said.
Yeah, I feel like we've
What
covered a lot of topics, so
it's all about here at Unsigned Chat. We cover a
love
lot of
it.
topics.
I love it.
No structure. We just ramble for an hour.
They're the best podcasts. It's more natural.
Good. That's what we aim to be. But thank you so much though for giving your time up to joining us here on Unsigned Chat Podcast.
Been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, folks, that's all we've got time for this week. A big thanks to Laro for being a guest on the show. Be sure to go and check out her music on social media and give her a follow too. Also, a big thanks to you guys for tuning in each week and listening. Until next time, have a great week.